loose. Good. Getting there. Yep. All right. Too much? We're good. All right. Jump in. To the left, and we go to the right. Then we go, jump in the rear. Jump. Yeah, we tried. Yeah, it didn't work out. Yeah, everybody doing good? Yes. Amen. James chapter 5. Let's just jump right in, Greg. Paul asked me what I was going to preach on like a couple days ago because we were trying to figure out who was going to do what. And I told him that word got out that I was going to be preaching. That's the reason why nobody was here, you know. But he said he ran everybody off last Sunday, so we don't know. We can't figure it out. We don't know, you know, how to maintain, you know, the thing here. It's a joke, y'all. It's playing around. Yeah. Anyhow, he asked me what, you know, I said, it's either going to be this or that or whatever, and, you know, and I got to thinking about it, and, we started pre-COVID, we started kind of a little talk about some prayer, and we've kind of been dancing around it and staying around it. Even on Wednesday nights, we're kind of hanging around prayer a little bit, so we're going to dive in again on some things that we touched on pre-COVID. And I think we're going to dig in a little deeper this morning, and we'll go, I don't know, I'll let y'all out by 4:30. Something like that, yeah. I hope you brought a Snickers bar. Nope, okay. Hey, by the way, if you go to YouTube and take a look at our channel, a couple of weekends ago I preached, I wore the same exact outfit that I have on today. It's just interesting. It's just real interesting to me that, you know, you look back. I was in the kitchen, not the kitchen. What is this place over here, the coffee deal? It's got that big TV in there, you know, coffee shop. I was in the coffee shop, and I just walked by, and I saw the TV, and it had a picture of me on there. I was like, what am I doing on there? You know, because you look at the TV, you see yourself, you're like, what am I doing there? You know, and so I looked on, and I was like, oh, I'm wearing the same clothes I wore last time. That's great. Yeah. Then my holy clothes? Yeah. No, not really. I do have some holy clothes, but she won't let me wear them up here. I've tried that. She won't let me do it. So let's pray. Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father, for your presence here today. We thank you, Lord, that you give us the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of you. Open up the eyes of our understanding. We're tender our hearts right now, Lord. Get our ground ready to receive your good word, because we know that if we get a good word in due season, it's real sweet to us, Lord. So we're ready to receive some sweetness this morning. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. James chapter 5, verse 13, is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. See, if you're suffering, you're going through some stuff, you're the one that's supposed to pray. Don't go around asking everybody in the world to pray for you. Why don't you pray for yourself to begin with, because that's what the word says. Is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing. Because if you go to somebody and ask them to pray for you because you're going through a hard time, it's just like asking them to sing and dance for you because you feel good. Hey, I feel great today. Will you dance for me real quick? Is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing. Is anyone among you sick? Now you call for the elders of the church and let them pray over you, anointing you with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he's committed any sins, he will be forgiven. Verse 16, confess your trespasses one to another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Righteous man or woman, the effective, fervent prayer of a righteous person avails much. The Amplified Bible tells us, it opens it up, and I love the way the Amplified Bible gives it to us. The Amplified Bible says, "The earnest, heartfelt, continued prayer of a righteous man makes tremendous power available, dynamic in its working. We have been sent here to bring heaven upon this earth. Jesus prayed, 'Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth like it is in heaven.' In heaven right now, there is no crying, there is no dying, there is no sickness, there is no disease, there's no poverty, there's no lack. Why? Because it's heaven. He wants to see that here on this earth. How does he make that available? Through us. He gets it done through the church. The church is the one that creates that atmosphere in the earth. Now, how do we as a church get that thing done? We get that thing done through our prayer. As we begin to pray, we make tremendous power available, and it becomes dynamic in its working. It begins to dynamic. The word we get dynamic, we get it from the word that we get dynamite, that it's dynamic. It's explosive when it works. When a Christian decides that they're going to pray, not only pray and go to talk to God, but to pray the word of God to bring heaven on this earth, it is an explosive event that takes place. You have the right, the privilege to do that. You have the privilege to pray in this world and to have God's heaven show up on this earth simply by saying what he has already said. Amen. And the power of God begins to operate, and it's so powerful that the Bible says that it avails much. The word avail, if you look at it in the Greek, it means literally to have or to exercise force. You begin to exercise the force of heaven. You begin to exercise the power of heaven. You begin to implement that in this world simply by praying. Man. Right, right. But here, this is where most people get hung up, is because it says that the prayers of a righteous man avail much. And just about everybody you talk to is going to try to talk you out of you being righteous. They're going to tell you real quick you ain't worthy, you ain't good enough, and you ain't never going to get there. That's all you ever hear in this world. And I'm here to tell you this morning that Jesus Christ himself hung on a cross 2,000 years ago to make you worthy. He hung on that cross to make you righteous. He hung on that cross to give you that place to where you can now stand in that position and have heaven flow through you. We have been made the righteousness of God in Christ. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 21 says, He made him who knew no sin, talking about Jesus, to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. He tells us in Ephesians that he has set us in heavenly places, far above all principality, power, might, dominion, and every name that's ever been named. We are set up to win. We are set up to force heaven on this earth. And how do we do it? We do it by praying. We don't have to go out there and we don't have to build an army. It's unnecessary. We don't have to build an army. We don't have to all exercise and start getting our swords out and learning how to use a sword and a slingshot and a gun and get all that. And I'm not saying that that's bad. I'm just saying that's not what we have to do. We have to pray. The prayer of a righteous person makes tremendous power available. It is heaven working on the earth. All you have to do is open your mouth. Hallelujah. Moving on. I mean, for so many years, the church has been told that it is basically nothing. I mean, in fact, it's become so ingrained in us that whenever you start talking the way I'm talking, people call you just crazy. It's so foreign to their ears, but yet if you read the Word of God and follow the tracking of the Word of God, it says it over and over and over and over again that you are powerful. You are the one that is to bring heaven here on this earth. You are to exercise the name of Jesus. You are to bring authority to this place, and you are the one that is supposed to sit back and say, you know what, stuff ain't right. It's not lining up with what the Word says. I'm going to go ahead and make it right. That's what you have been called to do. Not anybody else, you. We all have a responsibility to stand up, and whenever we see some sort of injustice in the world or something's going on in the world that's not supposed to be happening or something that's contrary to the Word of God, we are the ones that are to open our mouths and say something about it. But not to the people. Not to their face, no. We get in our prayer closet. We go to God. We begin to pronounce things. We begin to declare things. And these things will be made for us. The Bible tells us, I don't have it written down. Y'all go to I think it's Jeremiah. Hold on here. I didn't put it in my notes. Everybody okay? Y'all holding on? I'm going to get into more here in just a minute. Just bear with me just a little bit. Let's see if I can find what I'm talking about and not embarrass myself. Yes, Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 9. Can you do that with Miss Marva Lee? I'm so sorry. Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 9 and 10. I didn't prepare them for that one. That one's a new one. It's just off the cuff. Look at here. Look at what it says. Then the Lord put forth his hand, and he touched my mouth. This is Isaiah giving an account of how he became a prophet. Check this out. Then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth, and the Lord said to me, behold, I have put my what? Whose words? His words, God's words, in your mouth. Go to verse 10 for me, Miss Marva Lee. See, I have this day set you over the nations and over the kingdoms to root out, to pull down, to destroy and to throw down, to build and to plant. When we realize that God's word in our mouth will do what? It will root out all the works of the enemy. We know that over time and over years that the enemy has planted bad, 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 bad seed. There's a bad seed coming to fruition right now. We're seeing the fruit of bad seed today, right now. Just open up the news, watch any of the news channels, pull up Google, Yahoo, any of them you want to, and you will see the fruit of bad seed that's been sown for years and years and years. We have the right to put God's word in our mouth and root that mess out. We could pull it down if there's strongholds that have been built in this world. We have the right to pull them down, the privilege to do so, to destroy and to throw down, and not only that, clear up the problem, but rebuild something brand new that God intended to have on this earth, simply by putting his word in our mouth. The prayers of a righteous man or woman, a righteous person, will make tremendous power available, dynamic in its working. Why are the prayers dynamic and powerful? Because that righteous person in right standing with God is saying exactly what he says, and you sound just like him when you open your mouth. Okay. Faith begins where the will of God is known. That's F.F. Bosworth. He said that faith will begin where you understand the will of God. And most of us, we sit back and go, I don't know what God's will is. If he would just reveal his will to me, I'd know what's the will of God. Well, he has given us 66 books of what his will is. It's called his word. His word is his will. That's what he wants to see happen. In fact, heaven and earth will pass away, but these words will never pass away. They'll last forever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever. They are his will. F.F. Bosworth said that faith will begin when the will of God is known. When we begin to put the word of God in our mind and in our soul and begin to cram that thing down into our spirit and have an understanding of what God is trying to tell us, we understand his will. And now, Hebrews chapter 11 says that now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Faith becomes this evidence. It becomes the substance and the foundations of these hopes or expectations that we have based upon the will that we know. If we know God's will, we have an expectation of something happening. Therefore, we have the faith for that thing to happen. So now we'll open our mouth and just say it's going to happen. We'll begin to declare it. We'll begin to pray it. We'll begin to speak out of our mouths what it is that God's will says is supposed to be on this earth and change the atmosphere. I need something to drink. Y'all got some? No, that ain't mine. Thank you. I thought they were going to hand me something that was colored. This is. Faith begins where the will of God is known. And as soon as we step into a position where we understand God's will and we understand our position in the kingdom of God, as soon as we step into that and we begin to move and operate on it, now prayer becomes powerful. It avails much. Why? Because there's no doubt. There's no doubt at all. Amen. You know, the COVID thing, I'm going to get in trouble from what I'm about to say, but I don't care. The COVID thing really, you know, I've told y'all before, it kind of drew a line for me. There's a line up in that thing. A line right there, ain't crossing it. You know, it really did. Why? Because, not because of the arrogance that I walk in, which everybody knows how arrogant I truly am. I'm playing, it's a joke. I'm not really arrogant, but I am. Anyway, it was not because of that, and it wasn't because I just wanted to shake up and start some sort of revolution and say, you know, we're not going to abide by anything because we're going to revolt, man. It's time for anarchy. Let's break off and just, man, down with the man, dude. We're just not doing this. Let's go. Not doing that. It's not it. The reason why I said there was a line and I wouldn't cross it and I was so just stable in it and set in it is because there's a foundation in me that has built over time based on the word that once you kind of get to that spot, I'm kind of done. Once you kind of get there, I'm not going to cross that line. It's settled in me. It's so settled in me that it's a part of me. And as soon as I hear something that's contrary to or that crosses that line, I'm like, right here. I don't know what that is, but I ain't doing that. Right there. And it comes from time, not only time in the Word, but time in His presence. And understanding and getting and understanding what the will of God is and what exactly God wants to see on this earth and operating within the confines of that. And anything that's outside of that, I don't want to mess with it. I don't want to touch it. It's not a braggadocious statement. It's just simply what it is. What do they say? It is what it is. It is what it is. I hate that statement, by the way. I don't like it. I don't even know why I said it. What's up, Ginger? Am I in trouble yet? All right. Anyhow, I'm working on it. I'm there. I'm close. God wants to look. All right, you get in the Word. You start looking around the Word and read the Bible stories. Anybody remember your Bible stories from Sunday school? You go to say if you had Sunday school and all, you know your Bible stories and all. Well, they ain't stories. They're factual truths that happened. It's really history. Yes, it is something that actually took place in the Bible. Joshua, I think it's Joshua. Is it Joshua? Yeah, it's Joshua. Where's it at? Did I even put it in here? I didn't even put it in here this morning, did I? Joshua chapter 10, I think, is where it's at. In Joshua chapter 10, there are five armies coming against Israel, okay? Joshua and his folks, you know, they had just entered into the promised land. It's five armies. Kind of reminds me of the last Hobbit, you know. Anyway, only one person got that. One. It was Fisher. Yeah. Tyler got it too. Yeah. Tyler giggled under his breath. Anyhow, there's five armies that were coming against Joshua and his folks, right? And Joshua goes to the Lord. The Lord says, look, I got you back. Usual stuff. So Joshua prays. And whenever he's in his prayer, he goes to God and he, Lord, you know, be with us, you know, and that kind of thing. And then he starts talking to the sun. He actually spoke to it. And he said, sun, you stay where you're at. And then he talked to the moon and he said, moon, don't move from where you are. And the Bible says that the sun and the moon stood still for almost a full day while they fought the battle. Because as long as the sun was up, he knew that he could win the battle because you could see. But as soon as the sun goes down, man, that thing's probably going to be over. Everybody's going to go take a break. They're going to get more reinforcements. There's just all kinds of things that can happen. Let's stop that sun from moving. So he told the sun, don't move. Prayers of a righteous man will make tremendous power available, dynamic in its working. Son, don't move. Told it. It stuck there. Now, back then, they didn't really have the scientific understanding that we have today. All right. Pre-Columbus, everybody thought the world was flat. So they thought that the sun was going around us. That's why he told it to stop moving. He didn't have the full, complete understanding of how everything was working, so he said, son, stop moving. But what really happened was God stopped the earth from rotating. All right? Now, if you know anything about physics and gravity and those type things, any level, you know that if the earth stops spinning, what happens? We lose our gravity. We just start flying around. So not only Did God stop the earth from spinning? He made sure that everybody stood still and the gravity stayed. He broke the laws of physics because a man spoke. Are y'all getting this? He broke the laws of spirit, the laws of physics, because a man spoke and told the sun, "Don't you move. The prayers of a righteous man make tremendous power available, dynamic in its working." Acts. Let's go to Acts. I'm New Testament people. Acts 16. This is a fun one. Yeah. No, let's do Acts 4 first. Because y'all know Acts 16. Everybody, Bible scholars, y'all are like, oh, at midnight. Acts chapter 4. Skadoosh. Who? Everybody good? Acts chapter 4. I'm trying to figure out where I'm going to start at. Let's go to verse 29. We'll start in verse 29, if that's okay, Miss Marvelee. Now, this is on the heels. That's where I told you to put it in my notes, didn't it? Look at that. See? This is on the heels of some Christians being arrested for speaking in the name of Jesus, and they were told not to do that ever again. So they go to God and they begin to pray. All right? They didn't say nothing to the folks that told them not to. They went to God and started praying. And this is what they said, verse 29. Now, Lord, look at their threats and grant to your servants with all boldness that they may speak your word by stretching out your hand to heal. See, when they even knew that whenever they stretched out their hand to heal, that it was God touching them, not them. To stretch out your hand to heal and that signs and wonders be done through the name of your holy servant Jesus, who is his child. I think it says holy child in the King James version, Jesus. Verse 31, and when they had prayed, when they prayed, what happened? The place where they were assembled together did what? Shook. I don't know about y'all, but I've been in a lot of church services and a lot of camp meetings, and there's been a lot of running and a lot of shouting and a lot of raising on of the hands, and folks have been praying and praising and acting a fool and going ignorant, but I ain't never been around where a place started shaking. Because the power of God was just the place where they were, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. They just went out and just started. I mean, heck, you think about it. If you're in a building and you start talking to God and you start praying to God and it starts shaking, you might get a little bit bold. You might just be a little bit of a, yeah, you want some of this? I've been talking to God and he shook the building. Got me a little, they call it boldness in the Bible. It's not really arrogance, is it? Nah. Just bold. Just kind of know that you know that you know. The prayers of a righteous man will make tremendous power available, dynamic in its working. Now let's go to Acts chapter 16. Y'all know that one. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God. They did. Acts 16. I'm just showing y'all how God works. That's all I'm going to do. What he does, not what. Just want you to see what he does. This is the God I serve right here, this guy. Look at this one. Chapter 16, verse 25. Same scenario. Folks been preaching, they got put in jail. You know, I mean, if they tell you to shut down the church and stop preaching in the name of Jesus, you can either do that or do what the Bible says. It's up to you. But these folks in Acts didn't stop, did they, Paul? Nope. Verse 16, so they're in jail for preaching when they weren't supposed to. COVID-19 hit. Governor said, don't you have church? They had it anyway. That's what's happening here. Verse 25. Wow. Has it been long enough for me to be able to say that kind of stuff? They're coming to get you, bad boys, bad boys. What you gonna do? But at midnight, verse 25, but at midnight, man, they're in there, things were bad. They were in the deepest part of the prison. But at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying. Golly, got a hard time. They own hard times. They ain't fussing, complaining. They didn't even call a lawyer. They just prayed. Praying and singing hymns unto God, and the prisoners were listening to them, and they heard them. And suddenly, all of a sudden, boom, suddenly, there was a great earthquake. There's God shaking again. He just likes to do it. He just hadn't. So that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were open and everyone's chains were loose. So not only were they set free, but everybody around them. We know these stories, right? We know this stuff. Check it out. And the keeper of the prison, this verse 27, awakening from sleep and seeing that the prison doors open, supposing the prisoners had fled, drew his sword and was about to kill himself. Because, you know, I mean, if you're getting paid to make sure folks don't leave the prison, and all of a sudden God shakes the building and opens everybody's doors to where they can all get out, your job's over. You know, you pretty much failed at your job responsibilities for the day. Okay? So that's why he's acting this way. Verse 28, but Paul called out with a loud voice saying, do yourself no harm, for we are all here. See, Paul's like, hey, look, dude, it's all right. God's involved. We understand you didn't get your job done today, but don't go killing yourself. God's got something better for you. Verse 29, then he called for a light, ran in and fell down trembling before Paul and Silas, because, you know, folks be praying and shake a building. You might want to give them a little bit of respect, just a touch. Verse 30, and he brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? Man, see, this is what it's all about. This is what God's trying to get done. He ain't trying to make you look all great, fine, and wonderful so you can walk around in your nice suits and your nice cars and live in your nice houses. He actually wants to touch other people when he goes working through you. Wow. Sirs, what must I do to be saved? Verse 31, so they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved, you and your household. I'm going to stop right here. One thing they did not say was, hey, you know what you do? You hook up with us, baby. I tell you what, we got some stuff going on. They didn't say that. They introduced him directly to the master. See, and that's something that we as Christians have to be, careful is not a good word, but it's the one I've got. We have to be careful of, we have to be aware of, that we do not, whenever somebody sees that our prayers are working and we can pray and things change and we start seeing blessings in our lives and, you know, things are starting to open up and you get a building that you only have to pay $1 a year for, you know, and it's not only one building, you get three buildings out of the deal on a campus and all you have to do is pay $1 a year for it. You don't go bragging about how great we are. You start pointing people to Jesus who did it anyway. We have to be aware of that thing, y'all. We got to make sure that we give proper due where due is proper. We have to give it to him. Because without him, we're nothing. Without him, we're nobodies. But with and through and by him, we become the righteousness of God in Christ. And the prayers of a righteous man will what? Make tremendous power available, dynamic in its working. And so they told him to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved, you and your household. Verse 32, then they spoke the word of the Lord to him and all who were in his house. And they were all baptized. If you go into verse 33, they were all baptized and all of them believed and were saved. So God shook the prison because they prayed. And I'm sure at the time they were praying, Lord, get us out of here. We want out. I'm sure they weren't praying, hey, you know, we're really worried about that guard that's keeping us in here. You know, they might have asked the Lord to bless him, you know, because Jesus kind of showed them how to do that when he was on the cross. You know, they know not what they do. So that was probably in there, but more than likely, knowing them, they probably just wanted out. I mean, I would. You know, I'd be like, hey, Lord, get me out of here. And you see what God does. God goes to shaking the building. Everybody's bands were loose. Everybody was gone. He is this crazy miracle that takes place where there's this divine intervention in the deal, all because God wanted to see a man in his household get saved. And he knew that would get it done. They prayed. Power became available. God started working. Y'all with me? See, we call the body of Christ, you know. We're his body. Let's go to Matthew 18. Matthew 18. Do, 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 do. Dun, 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 dun. Yeah, y'all can cut that out of the audio, Mike, Michael. Matthew 18:18. Assuredly, I say unto you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Again, I say to you that if two of you agree on earth concerning anything that they ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. For where two or three are gathered in my name, there am I in the midst of them. This is kind of the scripture about prayer. It's like the prayer scripture. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. I love what the Amplified Bible says on here, and I don't know if they had time to get it up, but the Amplified to me is like just crazy. It says, truly I tell you, whatever you forbid and declare to be improper and unlawful on earth must be what's already forbidden in heaven. So whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven is meaning that whatever you're binding on earth is that which is already bound in heaven. This tells you what's bound in heaven. And whatever you permit and declare proper and lawful on the earth must be what is already permitted in heaven. See, whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. It means that that you're loosing on earth is that which is already loosed in heaven. How do you know what's loosed in heaven? What'd I drop? It's okay. And then it says in verse 19, again, I tell you, if two of you on earth agree, which means to harmonize together, make a symphony together about whatever, anything and everything they may ask, it will come to pass and be done for them by my Father in heaven. And the people shouted and for joy because of the great word of the Lord. I just think this is awesome. I mean, I'll read it to you again real slow. It's for Ned and the first reader, okay? Again, I tell you, if two of you on earth agree, which means to harmonize together, make a symphony together about whatever, anything and everything they may ask, it will come to pass and be done for them by my Father in heaven. Okay. Yeah, that's good. That's good. It's almost time to eat. You're right. John 16, 23 and 24, you don't have to turn there. You don't even have to go there on the thing. I'm just going to read it to you. And in that day, this is Jesus talking, you will ask me nothing. Most assuredly, I say to you, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give it you. Until now, you have asked nothing in my name. Ask, and you'll receive that your joy may be full. See, God's just trying to get you happy in this earth. The Bible tells us that the Lord is our shepherd, that we shall not want. And if you take a look at a sheep, you kind of know how good or bad the shepherd is, right? So God's trying to get you joyful, get you happy. So you go to praying for stuff in the name of Jesus. He's going to work for you on that thing. He'd like to see you happy so somebody else could see you happy out there and go, man, why is it that you're always so happy? You just seem like everything's just going on because of Jesus. And now there's an opportunity for another person to come into the kingdom of God, and the kingdom grows. The prayers of a righteous person will make tremendous power available, dynamic in its working. All right. So I asked the Lord, I said, are we done? And he said, no, you're not done. Whew, you're not done. Oh, I forgot to tell y'all one. Back up. John 15:7. We do have to say this one. This is Jesus. This is written on the walls of just about everybody's grandma's house. I am the vine. You are the branches. He who abides in me and my words abide in you, you'll ask what you will. But it doesn't say that. It just says, I am the vine, you are the branches, on every single one of them you ever read. That's all it says. It doesn't go on to say the rest of it. What's the rest of it say? If you abide in me, which just means to Get in Jesus. If you're not there, get there quick. You know how you do it? I believe. That's about it. You abide in me, and my words abide in you, which the words are what? This stuff right here. Y'all remember this? My words abide in you. You will ask what you, what? No. Now, you ask what you need. Don't pay attention to that. It's just what you need, okay? I'm playing. You ask what you desire, and what will happen? See, they don't hang that on grandma's wall. They ain't going to put that one on a piece of paper and shove it up on the wall for everybody to see. Now, he could be the vine and we could be the branches all day long, but they don't want you to know what the benefit is to being a branch on the vine. This is the benefit of a branch on the vine. You get up in him, let his words get up in you. You can ask what you desire, and guess what? Tremendous power becomes available, dynamic in its working. Amen? So anyway, I asked the Lord, I said, hey, how much more we need to talk about this morning, you know, because... you know, the folks is going to be tired there about 11:20, and they're going to be about having enough. And, you know, do I stop it or do I continue? And, of course, he said, stay till 4:30, man. Okay. So let's go. Huh? They're making fun of me up here now. I want everybody, when we're done, to come up here to the front corner and play them. So anyway. I don't know about y'all, but I don't necessarily know what I'm supposed to pray for all the time. There's just sometimes I get in a bind, man, and just nothing's coming to the little old brain. Little old brain can't think of anything, doesn't know what to say, doesn't know how to do. I know that my prayers will avail much, but I sure enough don't know what to say. I'm stuck. Ever been there? Anybody ever been there before? Romans chapter 8. My favoriteest book in the entire Bible, Romans chapter 8. Where's Paul Gray? I'm doing Romans 8. Oh, he's here. Yeah, okay. I'm playing around. He's here. You going there, Miss Marvelly? Romans 8, put it on up there. Let's do it. The one that I... No, verse 28, baby. Didn't I not have it in my notes? 26, verse 26, excuse me. Look at there. See, Miss Marvelly is awesome. This is Romans chapter 8, verse 26. What do I do when I don't know what to pray for? Likewise, the Spirit also helps us in our weaknesses. Sometimes we just don't have it all. For we do not know what we what should pray for as we ought. But God gives you a way out. The Spirit Himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. See, there is not only does God give us the power to pray through His Word and make His power available, dynamic in its working, not only did He send Jesus and throw Him up on the cross and let Him die and 3 days later be rose again to where He can come back again one day to make us the righteousness of God in Christ, not only did He do that, He also gave us His Word. And He wrote down exactly what He wanted His will to be on this earth and gave it to us in a form that we can read it in any language that is spoken today on this earth. Not only did He do that, but He knew that we were going to get in a spot we wouldn't even know what we were supposed to pray for. And so He made that easy too. He sent His Spirit, the Holy Ghost. Y'all ever heard of Him before? He's pretty cool. He sent the Holy Ghost. And the Holy Spirit Himself will make intercession for you, which means that he'll get in there and He'll make the prayer for you with groanings which cannot be uttered. And a lot of people get messed up on this thing real quick. You know, it's crazy in the church world whenever you watch how the Word will say something and some people say, well, it doesn't really say it that way and it really doesn't say it like this. And you got all this division that starts happening out there. And the reason why there's all this division on this one particular subject is because the last thing that the enemy wants is for the church to get a hold to the whole idea that all we got to do is let the Holy Ghost pray for us and things still work. He don't want us to know that. He wants us to be hemmed up and froze up and not doing anything. So the best way to do that is make us scared. If He can scare you, He can get you to be quiet. The Spirit Himself will make intercessions for you. He will make an intercession for you, and He does it through groanings which cannot be uttered. The Greek behind this thing says actually cannot be put into words. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9, Miss Marbley. Uh-oh, it got quiet. Talking about the Holy Ghost, got to be quiet. Shh. This is Ginger's favorite scripture in the whole wide world. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. But, as it is written, eye has not seen, nor has ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. Stop right there. Stop right there. Look at this. Your eye can't see it. Your ear can't hear it. Even your heart can't even, you can't even get it quite right. The heart even means the consciousness of man. It doesn't even slip into your brain properly what God has prepared for those who love him. So how are we ever going to get there? Verse 10, you got a big old butt. Where's verse 10? Boom! There it is. Big old butt. But God. See, anytime you in your life, and it looks like that you swole up and you don't know what you're supposed to do and you stuck and man, oh my goodness gracious, what's going to go on? There's always a big old but from God. But God. Yeah. Did I ever tell y'all about the sermon that me and Roddy Schaefer wrote one time? Did I tell y'all about that? Called The Sun, the Moon, and the Stars? Oh, this is good. Y'all got time for a quick story? All right. Sun, the moon, the stars. Sun, S-O-N. Moon, M-O-O-N, and the stars. Okay? I'll break it down real quick for you. The stars are us. We are the star of his eyes. We are the apple of his eye. God loves us so much that he did everything in the entire universe for us. We are the stars, man. We're great. We're VIP every place we show up. We are VIP everywhere we go. Every place my footsteps, I'm blessed. I mean, it's awesome when you look at the stars. The sun, S-O-N, is real simple. We're talking about Jesus. Jesus came down on the cross 3 days, rose again. He's awesome, man. He's the master of everything. He runs the church. He's the head of the church. But the moon was the best part. The moon was the best part. In Exodus chapter 33, the last verse, this is where Moses is in the cleft of the rock. And he says, Lord, I want you to show me your glory. Show me your glory. Y'all know the song by Third Day, Show Me Your Glory. Y'all remember that one? Back in the 90s. And down here, won't hear your hair. Hold me your glory. Y'all remember that song? Just go listen to it. You can't even understand what he says. Hold me your glory. In there, your hair, hair. Won't see your hair, yeah, yeah. Hold me your glory. So Moses says, I want to see your glory, Lord. And he's being serious as a heart attack. I mean, Moses is serious about this thing. He has been fasting. He's been spending time. He wants to see God's glory. And he finally gets the gumption to say, show me. So God says, you can't see my face. But I'm going to place you in the cleft of a rock. And as I pass by, I'm going to put my hand up on the rock. And as I move by, I'll remove my hand and you can see my back parts. Now, I want y'all to look at my back parts. Other than this right here, what else you got? The moon. God mooned Moses. Moses said, show me your glory. God went, I'm telling you, y'all, we take things way too seriously. We take things way too seriously. But God, yes, sir, but God. Every time there's something bad going on in life, I promise you, you're going to get a big old butt from God. Show me your glory, Lord. This probably is my last Sunday. Never was that preached. It's never been preached. No, we just tell the story. I'm not preaching it. I'm just telling the story. I'm just telling the story. But God has revealed these things to us through His Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of man except the spirit of a man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Talking about the Holy Ghost. Now, we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. He wants you to know everything that He has for you. He wants you to see everything, every hope, desire, dream that you got on your little head and in your little heart that you want to see come to pass in your life. He wants it for you too. And He said the way you find out how to get there is through the Spirit, because the Spirit will show you the deep things that God has for you. Isaiah 28, then I'm going to stop, maybe. Not unless I think of another story about God showing His glory. You want to know the deep things of God? I mean, really? You really want to know Him? You really want to know the heart of God and the deep things of God and who He is? All you got to do is tap into the Spirit. A lot of people are afraid of it. A lot of people are scared of it because they don't understand it. But with the understanding of how the Spirit works and what He does and how He operates, comes faith instead of fear. Faith comes. And you step over into the greatness of God, the deepness of God. You begin to understand that whenever the Bible talks about roots growing under the ground, you start understanding that those roots are found in the spirit realm. And they dig down deep. Can't nobody see it. Everybody thinks you're being silly because you're talking about a butt, but really you're not. There's really something deep behind it if you let it happen. It'll change your life if you let God minister to you from the roots, from the ground, from that groundwater that's down there. That's the good stuff, not the rain. The rain's good, but the groundwater's a whole lot better. And there's a deepness to it. There's a place you can go in God that I cannot explain to you. I cannot put it in words to you. But you can have all you want and then some. He'll show you. Where did I tell y'all to go? Isaiah 28. Will you put it up there, Miss Marvelee, please? She does a good job. I can't remember what verse I was supposed to land on. Let's see, 11 and 12. Isaiah 28, 11 and 12, please, Miss Marvelee. See, God doesn't want us afraid and scared of anything that has anything to do with Him. He wants us to honor it, but He doesn't want us afraid of it. This is Isaiah 28, verse 11. For with stammering lips and what? What? Huh. He'll speak to His people. Verse 12. To whom He said, this is the rest with which you may cause the weary to rest. And this is the refreshing. Yet they will not hear. Isaiah prophesied that this is where we would be. That there would be a rest and a refreshing for us. That we could enter into with stammering lips and with another tongue. And he said, you know what? They're not even, they won't hear it. There's church after church after church after church after church after church after church. Today, right now. They won't hear it. I'm asking you to hear it. Let the Lord fill you with His Spirit. Step over into the deep things of God. He takes the foolish things of this world and He confounds wise people. You'll find yourself doing foolish things, but saying things so profound in front of folks that they think that you are just really the smartest person in the room. Making decisions that make all kinds of sense in the world. Be able to look at a situation and say, you know what? We're not doing any of it. We're going to stand still. And be pronounced in it and know it's the right thing. Why? Because the Spirit of God is saying, yeah, that's what we need to do. Be able to pray in such a way that you don't know how you're supposed to pray. I'm going to tell another story. Y'all ready? Another one. On the beach, You've told this one before. On the beach. Joseph, where you at? Chasing a bird. Right there. He was this big, chasing a bird. Joe went chasing after a seagull. He's this big. We packing up to leave the beach. He chased a seagull. We couldn't find him. Looked up, and my son was gone. Gone. And, you know, stuff starts racing through your brain. At that point and in that moment, I had no idea what to pray for. I couldn't think of one scripture. Not one. Didn't have a clue. Scared to death. Seriously. There's all this great, wonderful, oh, you're a preacher man and all that. Oh, heck no. This boy right here was afraid. 100% in terror. Can't find my boy. And we hollering and doing all that. This one's the smart one out of the group. I'm the dumb one. She's the smart one. This one starts praying in the Holy Ghost, which means in tongues. Okay, y'all? She starts praying in tongues. Because we don't know what we're supposed to pray for as we ought. The folks we were with, they're also ministers. They minister in Florida. They started praying. Same thing. We didn't know what to do. You know, it was about 10 minutes. It was wild. It was wild. 10 minutes don't seem like a long time, but I've been talking for two. It's forever. When you're in a crisis, a minute can seem like 3 days. We couldn't find him. Praying in the Holy Ghost. Praying in the Holy Ghost. We had people sitting next to us that we were on a public beach. And you don't necessarily have to go to a private beach. You go to a public beach. It's kind of like a Kisatchee National Forest here. You know, it's kind of like the same thing. It's kind of like a wildlife and fisheries kind of deal. You got a gate where you come in and everything's kind of fenced off. So it's public, but not really just wide open. And the folks that were sitting next to us were actually rangers. They were just off that day, and they just decided to come to the beach. So thankfully, they had the park to shut down. They shut all the gates, you know, and called them and told them what was going on. And of course, they got protocol for that kind of thing, and they start issuing all that. All we could think was that Joseph is out in the water somewhere, drowned it up. You know, that's all we could think. But praying in the Holy Ghost, praying in tongues, praying in the Holy Ghost. Don't know what I'm supposed to pray for, but we're going to be doing it. And about 10 minutes later, here comes this couple, little old couple. And they got my 3-year-old son with them, and he, you know, and we were like, everybody's crying. Of course, we got him. He's here. He played the piano. He's here. We found him. Obviously, we found him. Yeah. Yeah, there he is. Hey. But we didn't know what we should pray for as we ought. Had no clue. Didn't know what to do. And that kind of serious crisis will come up in our lives over and over and over again. Sometimes it's real serious, sometimes it's not. But there's always this point that we hit where we don't know what we're supposed to do. God's given us a way out. He showed us a way out. It's through and by His Spirit. The prayers of a righteous person will make tremendous power available, dynamic in its working. Let's all stand. Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus. We thank you for your word, Lord. We thank you, Father, that we can now go and eat because Greg finally stopped. We appreciate you, Lord. We'll take your word. We'll take it to heart. We'll do it because we know that it's the doers that are blessed and not the hearers. The hearers only just get to hear everything, but the doers actually get to experience the goodness of who you are and what you are. We thank you for it in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. If you want prayer, you can have it. You want to get filled with the Spirit? Show enough, come on up here. Sally, Joe, and Jeremy, we're supposed to pray for y'all. Yeah, you thought we was going to forget. I did, but they didn't. Y'all hold up for